All right, everyone, we are live. Okay, tonight we're going to learn this special discourse. It's Thursday night. We learn Chassidus on Thursday night. This is not related to this week's Parsha, but it really is related to this week's Parsha. We'll see in a moment why. I just found the connection. The discourse we're going to learn is a discourse from the Rebbe Marash, 4th Chabad Rebbe, and the Maimer was set on Parshas Noach, and now but the heading of the Maimer is not Noach. The heading of the Maimer is from Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi, we have the blessings of Yaakov, Jacob, to Yosef. And this discourse is going to be opening up with a verse of those blessings in the end of Genesis, in the end of Bereishis, where Yaakov, Jacob, blesses Yosef. Now, first of all, the connection to this week's Parsha, which I'm going to say right now, is that it's going to talk a lot about the inyan of the bris, the idea of the circumcision, the covenant between God and Israel through the bris milah. Parsha's Vayera is all about Hashem coming to visit Avram, the godly revelation that happens through the bris milah that Avram did. So there's obviously a connection. For me, why am I teaching this? Because this is what Hashem sent me today, but everything is by divine providence. So today I merited to be a sandik by a bris. Sandik means the one who holds the baby on his lap during the bris. So big, big mazel tov to Yaakov and, what's his wife's name? Yaakov and Nachama Jacobson, who honored me to hold the baby at their son's circumcision. And a big, big mazel tov to their son, who's, if I get it right, got a triple name today, Avram Nachum Kalman. May he grow up, a Torah, l'chup, l'maisim tovim. Let's dedicate the class to this new baby boy. Now, this mimer is all about bris. It's all about Yosef. Now, Yosef is the first person in the Torah that says that he was a sandik. Sandik, meaning the one who holds the baby by the bris, because it says in the end of the book of Genesis, it says that how Yosef lived a long life. It's in the end of Parshas Vayechi, actually. It says that he merited to, that even the grandchildren of his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, or his grandchildren, gave birth on Yosef's laps. And the explanation over there means that they, that he held them. He was the sandik for their bris. Now, for reasons that are connected specifically very strongly to myself, I'm going to be very selfish over here. I am now in the midst of a blessing associated with Yosef. And it's connected to our new building, which is all full of energy of Yosef all over it. So I am happy. Number one, the fact that I was a sandik, which is connected to it. And the blessing of Yosef being the sandik. So this mimer, I'm teaching simply to draw down that light and that energy. I even went this week, because I was so inspired by this verse, that I said, Hashem sends you what you need. I was particularly inspired by this verse, because of those of you who have listened to my Elokus podcast, we just finished discourse number 9, and it concludes with this verse. And I feel it's apropos for the infinite blessings that are coming down associated with the expansion of the center. So when I saw this opened up to this verse, Ben Poras Yosef, I said, wow, this is what we're going to learn to help us channel the spiritual lights and the spiritual blessings needed for us to be able to complete and transform and grow and expand and all that. And all of you that are joining along for the journey, you're all blessed with the blessings of Yosef, which are the highest blessings. Here we go. Now this mimer, very interesting, this discourse was said, this discourse was said in Parshas Noach in the year 56:34. It was the Shabbos. It was the Shabbos of the Ofruf. The Ofruf of, I don't know who, oh, of the Raza. The Rebbe Marash's son. The Rebbe Marash had a son called Reb Zalman Aaron. And the Rebbe Rishab had another, Rebbe Marash had a son, Reb Zalman Aaron. And his brother was the Rebbe Rishab, the fourth Chabad Rebbe, the fifth Chabad Rebbe. So this discourse was said on the Shabbos of the reading up of the Torah, calling the Chatan, the Chassan, up to the Torah, he said on this Maimer. Now, why would he say a Maimer on Parshas Noach? Why would the Rebbe Marash say a Maimer on Parshas Noach on this Pasuk, Ben Pores Yosef? It's not the Parsha of the week. And it's also B'Pashta, it's not related to a wedding. And the answer is, it says over here, that the Rebbe Rishab's, the Rebbe Marash said that on every, listen to this, on every simcha of his children, by every wedding, by every simcha of his children, he said a maimer ben poras Yosef. And he said about himself that I'm on the level of Yosef. The Rebbe Marash said about himself that I'm on the level of Yosef. And the Rebbe Rishab concluded, and he says, his promise can be relied upon until the Bias Goel Tzedek, until the coming of Mashiach. So if that's the case, this is what I want to be doing now. So again, that's the background of the discourse. I didn't learn this discourse yet. I'm learning it with you together. Okay, so the verse says like this, Ben Poras Yosef. Yosef is a son of charm. The simple meaning of Poras means charm. Yosef is a charming boy. That's what Yaakov says when he blesses Yosef. Ben Poras Aleayin, he's got charm for the eye. That means anybody that looks upon him sees his charm. Poras, Rashi says, also has another meaning. He's a son that increases. That means he has an incredible ability to bring increased light. Targum Unculus, and the Targum says, and that's according to the Targum, that Yosef is a son that increases. And it actually, it fits in his name, because his name is Yosef. Yosef means lohosef, to add. Vulashin Toisefis Viriboy, it's a lashin of addition and abundance. Vigam Yosef Pa'atzmo, you lashin Toisefis. So two things. Poras means to increase. The yizgi in Aramaic means to make something much. Poras means, like from the word pruer vu, make, multiply, have more children, multiply. So Poras means to increase, but Yosef itself means increase. So in Poras Yosef, you have increase of increase. Anybody that doesn't feel the vitality flowing right now is just not tuning in. The pipes are pumping. The pipes are pumping. We're channeling like we've never channeled before. There's an increase. There's an increased light now. A very, very intense light flowing. To understand all of this, to understand what this idea is of the increased light that is related to Yosef, we need to understand first, Inyan Eila told us Yaakov Yosef. What's the idea of? It says, these are the, in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, it says, these are the offspring of Yaakov, of Jacob, Yosef, Joseph. There's 11 other brothers. No, Yosef. The Lama Yosef Davku told us Yaakov. Why is it Dafka that Yosef is considered Toldos Yaakov, the offspring of Yaakov? What do we find something like this? And then remember we said, the Rebbe said this Maimer on the Parshas Ela Toldos Noach. So over there it says, Ela Toldos Noach. These are the offspring of Noach. And it says, Noach ish tzaddik. Noach was a man of tzaddik. It doesn't even tell us his offspring. But actually, it's interesting. We know that the level of tzaddik is the level of Yosef. Tzaddik is sod olam. Yosef is tzaddik. So therefore, he says, just like by Yaakov, it says, Ela Toldos Yaakov, Yosef. That means the Toldos, the offspring of Yaakov, is Yosef. And who is Yosef? Yosef HaTzadik. So it jimes and it rhymes with Ela Toldos Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik. You see the same idea that the concept of Toldos, of offspring, is related all to the energy of Tzadik. The Toldos Noach, oh no, but here he says, I made that association, but in the Maimer he doesn't say that exactly. He says the Toldos Noach hu Noach Gufa. In by Ela Toldos Noach, you find out that what? By Yaakov it says Ela Toldos Yaakov Yosef. But by Noach it's even who are the offspring of Noach? Noach himself. Now, what does it have to do with Yosef being? I guess maybe because, you know, we're going to see spiritually, Yosef is a very direct continuation of Yaakov. So it's, in a sense, a little bit like these are the offspring of Noach. Joseph is like is Yaakov extended? So if you say, the comparison between the two is it just like by the offspring of Noach? It's not anyone else other than Noach himself. The same is also by Yaakov. Ela told us, it's almost as if it would say, Ela told us Yaakov. Because Yosef and Yaakov are very intrinsically bond up with each other. They look the same. They had everything that, like Rashi says, how Yosef was like a carbon copy of Yaakov. His life's events were very similar and the like. But to understand this, we first have to preface. In Ise b'Zohar, it says in the Zohar, on the pasuk, "Va'amech kulam tzadikim, your nation are all righteous. La'olam yirshu aretz, forever they will inherit the land." This is very important because we now are in a time that we must take possession of the land of Israel completely. And that's it. The Jewish people must take possession of the land of Israel. Anyways, no one wants us in their land anyway, so we might as well just go to Israel. But for that, we have to have enough space in Israel. So we have to get the whole entire land, which is promised to us. But the Zohar says, how do we merit the land of Israel? Amech kulam tzadikim. Your nation are all righteous. In other words, in order to merit the land, you need to be this idea of righteous. But it says everybody's righteous. What does righteousness mean? So although righteousness generally means you can be righteous in many ways, but one of the primary idea of being called a tzaddik is someone is related to the bris milah. It's related to the circumcision. Tochazi, that's what the Zohar says. Tochazu, come and see. Kol Yisrael islan chalkula alma da'asi. Every single Jew has a chelek, has a portion in the world to come. My time, what is the reason? Begin the notrin bris, because they guard the covenant. The alma, the iskayim aleihu, which the world is held up on this bris. It's referring to the bris milah, the circumcision. That because they guard the bris, that's what gives them the ability and the strength and the credits needed to inherit the land. Like it says, imloy berisi, if not for my covenant, I would not have it. The verse says, "Imloy berisi chukas, imloy berisi shemaim." I'm sorry, "Imloy berisi yoimam v'layla." If not for my covenant, day and night, chukas shemaim v'aretz loy samti. The laws of heaven and earth I would not have made. So God is saying that what keeps the worlds up is the covenant. So the Zohar says, this is implies that in the merit of the Jewish people keeping this covenant, we'll soon see what that means. Obviously, it means giving your child a circumcision, which, as we said today, I had the merit to be very much part of. But doesn't only mean doing the circumcision. It also means more than that, as we will see. And because Israel keeps the covenant, it is for that reason God gives them the land. Not only that, at the beginning, kach ikr tzadikim. The Zohar says, because they keep the covenant, that's why they're called tzadikim. So two things we get for the covenant. Number one, we inherit the land. Number two, we're called tzadikim. By the way, it says that Ishmael has a portion in the land, gets to have a hold, not a portion, gets to have a hold in the land of Israel because they're traditionally forever, from the beginning of times, always circumcised. The Arabs also, the Muslims circumcised. And they circumcised because Yishmael was circumcised. God, Abraham circumcised Yishmael. But Yishmael did not have the real bris because his circumcision was when he was 13 years old. The real bris is when you're a little baby, when you're 8 days old. Only the Jewish people have that covenant. So his bris is a very superficial covenant. That's why his possession of the land of Israel is a very superficial possession. During the entire time when Arabs lived in the land of Israel, Israel did not flourish. They didn't have the ability to get the land kicking. The land remained, that's what the Zohar says, because their covenant is not the real covenant. It's just an imitation covenant. The real deal is the Jewish covenant, the bris of the Jewish people. And Yishmael gets to hold the land of Israel for a while because of the merit of his bris milah. But it doesn't last because if it's not real, it doesn't last. The real bris is what God made with Israel, with the Jewish people. And their bris is eternal. And, okay. V'kana lifna, and so we learned. But the second thing we merit through guarding the bris is that we're called tzaddikim. V'kacha lifna, and so we learned. Kol man denoter hai bris. Anyone that guards this bris, this covenant, the Almes Kaim Aleihu, that the world stands upon it, Ikra Tzadik, is called a Tzadik. Menola mi Yosef, from where do we know this? From Yosef. Begin the Notale Lebris, because Yosef guarded the Bris, Alma Zacha de Ikra Tzadik, and that's why Yosef particularly is referred to as Tzadik. Avram, we don't call him Avram HaTzadik. We call him Avram Avinu. Yitzchak, we also don't call Yitzchak HaTzadik. We call him Yitzchak Avinu. Yaakov, we don't either call Yaakov HaTzadik. We call him Yaakov Avinu. Avinu means our father. Moses, Moshe, we call not HaTzadik, Moshe HaTzadik. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron, who was a big Tzadik, we don't call him Aaron HaTzadik. We call him Aaron HaKohen. King David, we don't call him David HaTzadik. We call him David HaMelech. Who's the only one whose label becomes Tzadik is Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Because Yosef guarded the bris. Zocha deker Tzadik. Va'al Kain, and therefore, Va'amech kulam Tzadikim. But all your people are Tzadikim. Lo'ilam Yeshua. Two things. All your people who keep the covenant are tzaddikim. Because remember, if you keep the covenant, you're a tzaddik. And the second thing is, forever they will inherit the land. That means this that we get possession of the land of Israel is because of the bris milah. We say it in benching. Va'al berischa shechasamta b'vsareinu, and on the covenant that you sealed in our flesh. And then Va'al Teirascha Shalom, the Torah that you taught us. Eh? And then we continue to thank God for the land. Actually, we start with the land. Al Shen Chal Talav Yisenu. That's what it is. Al Shen Chal Talav Yisenu Eretz Tova Rechava. I'm trying to remember where it says bris and immediately afterwards inheritance of land. Right now it's not coming to my head, but in any case. Why is the tzaddik element connected dafka and the inheritance of the land dafka connected to guarding the bris? There are many mitzvahs. Why does the Zohar get so excited about this mitzvah of the guarding of the bris? I know, and the reason is we see the guarding of the bris, the guarding of the covenant is not like all other mitzvahs. Kishar mitzvahs, because all the other mitzvahs, there are those that are dependent, which means the observance of the mitzvahs only at the actual time that you're doing the mitzvah. Kamoi mitzvahs tefillin, like the mitzvah of tefillin. It's only when you are wrapped in tefillin, then you did the mitzvah. Amesaihu mitzvah. When is the mitzvah? Mitzvah b'shasha adam aniach isam. At the time that a person, just having tefillin in your closet is not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is when you don the tefillin. Achkach shemesiram, when you remove the tefillin. Ain't no mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah anymore. Vafila mitzvah tzedakah. And even mitzvah tzedakah, which is, a yid can give tzedakah all the day long. There's not like no restrictions. But still, it's only when you're giving tzedakah. The time you're not giving tzedakah, Shu mitzvah Rama Venasa is a very great mitzvah. Gamkein ain't a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. Rag be'eis asiyasa, only at the time that you're doing it. V'nimtza shah mitzvah davka be'eis asiyasa. It comes out that these mitzvahs are only at the time that they're being done. V'yash mitzvah shetluyim. Oh, but you can do them anytime, but it's only at the time you're doing it. So tzedakah is not like dependent on time. Tzedakah is an all year long. It's not a particular day of the year that you give tzedakah. It's every day of the year. However, it's only at the actual moment that you're giving tzedakah that you're doing the mitzvah. And then there are mitzvahs that are even more constricted because you can only do them at a certain season. Shetluyis bizman, they have a certain time. When mitzvah shofar, like the mitzvah hearing the shofar, blowing a shofar in the 363 days of the year is meaningless, or 353 days, 52 days. Because shofar is only significant on Rosh Hashanah. Any other day of the year, it's meaningless. It's only on the time that is designated for it. And any other time, it's not a mitzvah. Mitzvah sukkah v'lulav, the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah or shaking a lulav. Or eating the matzah bread, the unleavened bread, when on Passover is only the mitzvah. Eat matzah on Rosh Hashanah and it's nothing. It's only in its right time. If you eat matzah on sukkahs, not a mitzvah. If you make yourself a nice sukkah on Pesach, it's also not a mitzvah. Nimtza comes out, Shashara mitzvahs tluyim b'maisa oibizman. Comes out that the rest of the mitzvahs are connected to a certain action or a certain time. Avol mitzvahs netiris abris hu shayach le'olam. But the mitzvah, now, of guarding the bris is possible all the time. It applies all day long. The einai talu b'maisa, it's not dependent on an action. Ubizman and in a time. What do we mean by that? Hagam dechsiv, and even though it says you can only have your bris milah one time in your life. Ubayoy mashmini imo, that on the eighth day of a person's life, that's when they have a circumcision. Haina hamila bavad, that's the actual circumcision, the removal of the orla. Avul netira sabris, but guarding the bris, shaykh la'olam, is possible all the time. What is the guarding of it? Guarding of it means meaning keeping one's aspects of intimacy only in holiness, where it belongs, and not in any other place. Not a diversion of the sexuality of the human being to any other direction. Al kein tafas hazayir hakadosh mitzvas netiras habris. That's why the Zohar says that this mitzvah is such a great mitzvah, the guarding of, it's actually It's a mitzvah to guard all day long, all life long. Shem ipnei zeh lo'olam yirshu aretz. And for this sake, they will inherit the land. Ki mitzvah natira sabris hu shaycha gam kin lo'olam. The mitzvah of guarding the bris is also shaychas, has also a connection. Lo'olam, I don't know what it means, lo'olam. Oh, ah, no. It's also passive. It's also applicable all the time. Lo'olam means all the time. And that's why lo'olam yirshu aretz, forever. They will inherit the land forever. The Jewish people are not taking this land. Any other country that has possession of a land, it's not forever. You know, Putin is trying to remove the Ukrainians from a certain from the Donbas, certain area, and he's trying to remove them. Will he be successful or not? Wait to be seen. You know, countries have been, I mean, peoples that have been ancient peoples or whatever it is, they've been evicted from their lands by conquerors or whatever it is. So no one has their land being forever. Look, take a look at Europe. Europe is being completely overrun by the migrations coming in. Completely, literally, they're the only ones having children. The Europeans are not having children. They're dying out. And they're being way, way outnumbered now by the birth rate. And that's part of the plan of how they're going to take over the world. So no country has a guarantee on their land. The only people who have a guarantee and a warranty on their land that's forever are the Jewish people. That's why it comes up to us so hard, so difficult. That's why the whole world has a hard time recognizing that this land belongs to Israel, because it's something very special. So the taking of the land is la'olam, forever. And the mitzvah of mila and guarding the bris is every minute of a person's life. Ach tzarech lo'av, we need to understand, inya mashar kasa b'zohar, but we need to understand, why does it say in the Zohar, shem ipnei zeh islan chulka la'am da'asi, that because of this, the Zohar says, the Jewish people have also a portion in the world to come. So the question is, my shaykhis with the Alma Asi. What kind of connections? Meaning, not only do we have the land is in the current world, but in the world to come means in a higher or whatever. So the question is, what does it have to do with that? Bishlaimaha da Alma Skaya Malayu. No, but the first thing, if regarding the matter that we said, that in the merit of the bris mila, the merit of the guarding of the bris, the world stands upon this bris. No, that we can explain why. Ki alma hu lashon helem. We say the world, and we use the word alma, the world. The root of the word olam is the word helem. Helem means concealment. In which we know that in order for a world to exist, God has to hide. Because if God's truth would be fully expressed and revealed, then it would cancel any existence, because it's only Him. Other than Him, nothing can exist. So in order to create a world, God has to darken or dim Himself. So therefore, the root of the world is the root of creation of our olam, which means world, also is helam, concealment. The worlds are nothing other than a distortion of reality. That's what we're experiencing ourselves as something. Our consciousness is because of a blockage. Now, in which level is that blockage created? That blockage is primarily realized and brought into, you know, manifests in the attribute of Malchus, of kingship. Higher than Malchut and all the other nine Sefirot, there is clarity. There is divine clarity. It's above the cloud. It's above that concealment. And that's why there's no worlds there. Everything is just God. In other words, above Malchus, it is sensed in the most powerful way that Ein Od Malvado, there's nothing but God. The notion that there can be something other than Hashem is because of the concealment that there is in Malchus. And Malchus requires that, because Malchus means there's a king. And you cannot be a king unless you have subjects. You have someone else who is not you. So for that reason, Malchus is called concealment. Now, Shekadeshi, Helen Vahester, in order that there should be a concealment, that the creation should be something, Vidavar Nifrad, and that they should be separated. What does that mean? That the creations should feel themselves apart from God in their own consciousness. Is through the element of kingship. There is no king without a people, like we said. But what sustains Malchus? Where does the energy, how does the energy flow into the screen? Malchus is a smoke screen. Where does the energy of God flow into Malchus? The energy of God that flows to Malchus, Malchus flows from Yesod. Yesod gives the divine channels, the divine flow into Malchus. Comes out that the Olam, what is the Olam? What's the world? The world is concealment, which is Malchus. What is holding up the world? Yesod, which is the Bris. That's why we're saying that without the Bris, the worlds have no Kiyum. The world has no establishment. The Kiyum Chenas Malchus, Wadei Midas HaYesod. The sustaining of the Malchus and the keeping of the Malchus in existence is through Yesod. Kedichsev, and where do you find that? That Yesod is the foundation of Malchus. It says, Vitzadik Yesod Olam. So you have Olam, the world. Yesod, the foundation. What's the foundation of the world? Of the Olam. Imagine, you know, looking at a globe. The globe, let's say, is the Olam. But you have a globe that's suspended in the middle of the room. What's holding it? I have usually it's a stand. A stand with something. That's the base that's holding up this, and then you can go over, you can turn the globe. So imagine that all of existence is this globe, which is all of created existence, which is only coming about through a concealment of God, which is the divine attribute of Malchus. And what is holding up the Olam, Yesod, is the Tzadik Yesod Olam. The Tzadik is the foundation holding up the Olam, holding up the world. So, and therefore it also says, listen to these words. You say it every day in davening, and here's going to be a whole new pirush that you're going to enjoy. We say it every day in V'charois Imay Habris. You've sealed with him. You've literal translation. You cut with him, but it really means you sealed with him a covenant. God sealed a covenant with Abraham. Which covenant is that? Bris Milah. Because that's when God made a covenant. And you promised Abraham that you will give him the land. And then it says these words. Vatokem estvarecha kitzadik ata. The simple meaning is, Vatokem estvarecha, you fulfilled your promise because you're righteous. Kitzadik ata, because you're a tzadik. It's a little hard to understand the simple meaning of that. You know, a person keeps his word, he's already a tzaddik. It's only decent you keep your word. What does it mean? You've established your words. Ki tzaddik ata, because you are a tzaddik. So there's a deeper mystical meaning. Vatokem. You've elevated or held up estvarecha, which is Malchus. Malchus is called speech. Malchus pen. What's holding up? Malchus is being suspended in the midair. What's holding it up? Why? Because anywhere outside of this tiny little bubble is pure, is ultimate reality, is God. nothing but God. Then there's a little floating bubble that needs to be constantly recreated and made. And that's this kind of separate little bubble that is not part of the ultimate truth. So something has to hold it in existence. Vatake mestrecha, you've held up your word, which is the malchus, ki tzadik ata, because you're tzadik. What's tzadik? Tzadik is yesod. So you see how the level of yesod holds up malchus, is the foundation and holds up malchus. Vatake mestrecha, b'chinas kima. Hold on one second. Tzadik ata. V'recha, ayinu b'chinas malchus. The v'recha, that's malchus. That's the word of a God. That's the source of the bringing the worlds into existence. In order to keep your word strong, to lift the malchus up, because you are righteous. Yesod is holding up the malchus. The imke. So with this, the first, that element of the Zohar, what does the Zohar say? That if not for the covenant, the world, the covenant holds up the world. That makes sense. Because the world is malchus, and what holds up malchus? Yesod. And in our lives, what is yesod? The guarding of the bris. The imkem b'zeh yuvan azayir HaKadosh, and that's why we'll understand what it says in the Zohar. Begin the notrim bris, the almes kayam aleo, because they observe the covenant that the world stands on it. Shumida sa yesod, which is the midah of yesod. Aval, the question is, but now he asks the question, maun esinas tam, but why is it a reason, shayadei ze yiskula alma da asi, that they're going to merit the future world? The future world, as he's going to explain in a moment, is a much higher level. It's not malchus. The future world is bina, which bina is way above yesod. So why is it through keeping yesod, through keeping the bris, one merits bina? Malchus, we understand that the entire malchus is hinged on yesod. So if you keep the yesod, which means you keep the bris, what are you doing? You're protecting malchus. And we understand. But when it comes to bina, which is much, it's a complete, a much higher level, what does it have to do with yesod? How does this bring a person to the world to come? The future world is bina. The sages say, with the yud, the future world was created. The yidua, the yud, u'pchenes chachma. It is known that Yud is Chachma. And the Yud, which is Chachma, Nivrak creates the Alma Da'asi, the future world. That means the Chachma creates the Bina. What does it say? Biyud Nivra Olama. Olama Ba itself is Bina. What creates the world of Bina? Chachma. So if you would tell a person in order to merit the world to come, you have to learn a lot of Torah, which is Chachma. That would make sense. But what does it have to do with guarding the bris? How does that in any way relate to the future world? The imkein olam haba b'chinas bina, olam haba is bina. B'chinas bina olam ma'ila harba b'chinas midas yesod. And bina is much higher than yesod. So you would expect that in order to have the world to come, in order to have a sustainability in this world, which this world is malchus, no. In order for all the blessings of this world to flow to a person, it helps a lot if a person is careful in their bris. That makes sense because that kind of keeps the human being healthy and it keeps the person, the malchut, which is the consequence of yesod, strong, sturdy, and whatever. But the world to come is a much, much, much higher revelation, which is way above yesod. So it should have said is, in order to merit the world to come, they have to study Torah every day. But it doesn't say that. What does Yisod have to do with the world to come? That's his question. For oy that a Bina, and even make the question even stronger. Not only is Bina higher than Yisod, but for oy that a Bina mebchenas moichen. Bina is mochen. The Yisod hu midos. It's complete different energy. Bina is part of the intellectual faculties. Yisod is a feature of the emotions. It's the bonding element that we have in our emotions, that we're able to bond with someone. The yidu, and it is known, she'ein aroich midos lamoichen, that the midos to the mochen have no comparison at all. Ki midos einim shayichem naka, she'yer zulas dafka. Because emotions are only possible, only are applicable in a social setting. Emotions require others to react to. Emotions need to be applicable to something outside of a person. Like, for example, if someone is a compassionate person or someone is a kind person, so the compassion and the kindness is to somebody. It's only when there is on who to have mercy on, or on who to be kind to, because for one's own self, you cannot be a rachaman, you can't be a merciful on yourself. And to be kind to yourself, I know today's days it became a very big thing in self-help, that you have to be compassionate on yourself and you have to be kind to yourself. Well, we have that, those elements in Hasidus as well, when you're having compassion on your neshama. And that's because, but that's like recognizing that you're not your neshama, you're not your soul, because your consciousness and our, unless you're a tzaddik, our consciousness is very much of our animal, is to a very great degree, at least a blend of our animal and our godly. But the godly is a little bit more, like the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, like the neshama that you put into me, but I'm not the neshama. On a very deep level, of course, everybody is their neshama, but on the regular consciousness of everyday living, our consciousness is more the animal consciousness. And within that, we have a neshama. So in that, it makes sense that you say that you, when you evoke pity, when you do tshuva, you're supposed to pity yourself. That means you pity the holy soul that's in you. It's not yourself. You're having pity on somebody, which is your neshama. And that's what he's saying over here, that you can only have a true emotion can only be applied towards a being other than yourself. Avo b'chenas mochen, but intellect. Hem shaychem afilik shula atzmai. Intelligence. One doesn't need someone to interact with for intelligence. Quite on the contrary, interacting with people kind of jeopardizes a person's ability to think deeply. Because the more you speak to people, they distract you. People that are very, when a person is engaged in an intellectual exercise, they generally like to go into a quiet room, close the door, not be with people. It's not like emotions that require the opposite. When you're upset about something, you want to find people to vent to. When you're feeling, emotions drive you into social environments. But intellect drives you into privacy, into being alone. A person could sit down and brainstorm. But when a person doesn't have anybody who to influence, like Avram Avinu this week in the beginning of the parasha, he was becoming so agitated that he didn't have anybody to take care of. He always needed guests. And on the contrary, we see that when a person sits and does haskalas for himself, he actually can, in other words, being alone and being in not with people, that can actually propel a person's intelligence to levels way, way beyond any ordinary growth you can have when you're with people. In other words, what's better for the intellect? Being with others and maybe even studying with others, or being alone? So sometimes there's a benefit of discussing things and it gives out a clarity. But for a person to really, really develop a brilliant mind, that takes a lot of discipline, and discipline of just sitting yourself and thinking, not in the company of others. Like we find, he brings an example. Kamoi Barajbi, he's going to give an example how the greatest achievements scholastically happens when a person is alone. Kamoi Barajbi, like we find Reb Shimon Bichai, Shekoidim Shoya B'mayro Yamakshul Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer. Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer Mefarik LaYud Beis Perukei. The Gemara says that before Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went into the 12-year stint in the cave, before he went there, he would sit and with his father-in-law, Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer, and Reb Shimon Bar Yochai would ask a question in Torah, and Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer, his father-in-law, a great Torah scholar, would give him 12 ways of how to resolve the question. 12 answers. Brilliant answers, each one. After Reb Shimon Bar Yochai spent 12 years in the cave, because the Romans were seeking to kill him, he hid in a cave. And it ended up being 13 years. He came back, and he was very, very, he had a lot of cuts and bruises, because he would sit in the sand the whole time. His skin was a total mess. So when his father-in-law saw him in that state, his father-in-law was crying because he saw what kind of pain he was. So he said, whoa, whoa. He was actually crying and dropping his tears on Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's body, and his salty tears were causing Reb Shimon Bar Yochai extra pain. He took him to the bathhouse, and he saw that his body had cuts and cuts all over. So he was putting oils on him and whatever. He was crying. As he was crying, so he said, "Woe that I see you like this, because you look, you must be in agony." And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said, "No, how fortunate is it that you see me like this? Because if I would not have gone through this private time that I had, I would have been pretty average. But now I'm above average." And the Gemara says, how do you see he's above average? Because at this time, when he returned from the cave, when Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer would have a question, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai gave him not 12 answers, 24 answers. Earlier, the ratio between them was Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer was on such a higher caliber, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai would ask a question from him, and his answers, he would shoot him 12 answers. So you see how much greater Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer is than Reb Shimon. He asks the question, he doesn't only have an answer. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't even have one answer. Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer can provide him with 12 different methods. Wow, he's way above it. Yet 12 years later, or 13 years later, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai comes back, and now the tables are turned. When Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer, who's so brilliant that he can answer for every question of Reb Shimon 12 answers, when he has a question, can you imagine that question is much bigger than Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's questions from the past? This is like a super bumba question on a much higher level question. And comes Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and gave him 24 answers. Not 12, 24. So what do you see? The Reb Shimon Bar Yochai accelerated in those 12 years way, way, way beyond this teacher even. What was the quality during those 12 years? He had no one to talk to besides his son, but that's it. They sat and they'd study Torah all day long. They weren't in touch with people. So you see how isolation is beneficial to the mind. This is all part of a question. He's going to ask, if so, Bina and emotions are very different than each other. Which Yesod, and Yesod particularly relates to others, because the whole notion of Yesod is to have a moment, is to bond with someone. That's what Yesod is. Both physically, that's why Yesod is related to, as we said earlier, to the idea of intimacy. That's the bonding, physically. And spiritually, so does the power to be able to connect your mental, your mind to someone, like a teacher and a student, and lock minds until you feel each other in your head or in your heart. If that's the case, comes out that yesod is an emotion. And within emotions itself, it's the most external emotion, which means an emotion that very much relates to the outside. Bina is what? A very internal, private type of an experience. And the world to come is the world of Bina. And why does the Zohar say that by upholding the bris, the covenant, and guarding the covenant, one merits the world to come? That's where the question is going. And afterwards, ben he gave 24 answers. Now he's challenging that. We're just saying that it's better to be alone to study. But doesn't the sage just say that a lot I learned? It's a sage, and there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which it says, a whole lot I learned from my teachers, but even more than what I learned from my teachers, I learned from my friends. And from my students, I gained more than anybody else. So clearly what? Interaction with students and friends and colleagues improve one's mental sharpness. So that's the question. From my students more than anybody else. What does that mean? What happens is, yeah, everything has to be put, everything has to be understood in its context. When you have students and needing to explain something to a student, to articulate it and to and to clarify something to a student, when one does that, it causes an enormous opening up of the idea in the mind of the teacher. There's no better way of understanding a subject than teaching it. Because when you teach it to students, it forces the idea out into clear. But he's saying that's only after an idea exists already, that you have it already, to flesh it out, it helps your students. But to generate a new idea, for that you have to take time. Even when a teacher sits with a student and they get stuck on something, and the teacher will not continue conversing, they will fall silent. In other words, withdraw as if I'm leaving the room, I'm going away, the teacher, I'm going into myself, and that's where the epiphany happens. The new concept falls into their head. So even though there is an element in intellect that benefits from like emotions, that is a byproduct of a mingling of an interaction with others. The seichel reveals itself from the concealed to the revealed, but doesn't create new intellect. And we can also say, that what you benefit from your students, you can actually benefit even when you're sitting alone. That person can have that revelation also to himself. It, however, it requires enormous amount of deep thinking. In other words, what we say you benefit in intellect from students, you can actually have that benefit without the student. But what you need to do is what? Is you need to do what you would do with a student. What would you do if a student was sitting in front of you? You would speak it. And by speaking it, by putting it into words, and more words and more words, that clarifies the concept. It brings it down and enriches it in the mind of the teacher. It helps the concept descend more and reveal itself more. So what is he saying? He's saying you can do that without a student as well. But it's a little hard to do that because you want to talk. Usually when you're sitting alone, you'll only think. And thinking doesn't do it. You have to speak it. That's why it's beneficial to have the student. But in essence, it's not so much the student. What he's trying to bring out is that intellect is different than emotion. Emotion, the entire emotion is created in interaction to other people. You love them, you dislike them, you're this, you're that, you feel compassion. The emotion is intrinsically related to others. Intellect is not. And even the benefit you get from my students more than anyone, it's not so much the fact that there is a student, it's more the fact that you are speaking it and that you can do for yourself as well. It's just that people usually won't do that. That's the idea. And the same is also applicable above. The emotions have a relationship with the world. Like by God, his emotions interact with the world. When I said, O world, chesed yibaneh, right? And it says, remember your mercy, v'chasadecha, and your kindness, ki me'ola mehema, they're from the world, which means that mercy and kindness interact with the world. Just like in a human being, mercy and kindness or compassion and kindness comes forth where when you're talking to others. So the same by God, the emotions are this is only applicable when there's a world. But God's intelligence, chachma and bina, the wisdom and the understanding, is superior to the world. As we find, we find the Torah precedes the world 2,000 years. Well, there's no world. God doesn't need a world for the Torah. The Torah is God's creative mind. And that doesn't need people. It does better without people. It doesn't need worlds. Now he says that when he say Alpayim 2,000, it's because 1,000 years for Chachma and 1,000 years for Bina. The Nimtza comes out, what this means is that intellect is much higher than emotions. The Im Kain, and if that's the case, how does it work that through someone guarding the bris, has a portion of the world to come? The portion of the world to come is a purely intellectual type of an experience. What does it have to do with the emotion of Yesod, with the bond, with the foundation of Yesod, or the bonding of Yesod? Well, Havin's to understand this. We need to understand what it says in Zohar. There's a fascinating Zohar. The Zohar says how all the letters of the Aleph Beis came before God and asked God to use them to create the world. He marched one by one, came up on a stage and took the mic and spoke to Hashem and said, why don't you create the world through me? And they gave, and they made their arguments why they are the best suited for God to use them to create the world. So one of the letters are the tzaddik. So the Zohar says the tzaddik comes up in front of God, and it has to flaunt its qualities. And it says Amra Kamei Ribbono Alma. It says before the creator of the world, Nicha Kamach Lamivri Bialma. Is it? Am I going to win the lottery? Are you going? Is it pleasant before you, or is it something you can agree upon? That you can create the world through me? Da'ana bechasim en tzadikaya, because the tzadikim are signed with me, because tzadik begins with tzadik, and tzadik, the way you say the word tzadik is tzadik. So, you want tzadikim in the world, so you want the world to be a righteous world to create. Let's do this right from the beginning. Let's create the world from the letter tzaddik, and everybody's going to be tzaddikim. The ante iskara tzaddik. And you, God, you're also called tzaddik. Bei Roshim, you are inscribed in me in the letter tzaddik. The chsev, it says in the pasuk, ki tzaddik Hashem, tzedakah is ohev. That Hashem is a tzaddik. He loves tzedakah. So you see that God himself is also called tzaddik. So it's beautiful. I would be a beautiful letter to create the world through me. Armalei Hashem says to the tzaddik, tzaddi tzaddi ant, the tzaddik ant. You are a tzaddi tzaddi, and you're also a tzaddik. Aval ant tzaddich lemehevet tamira, but you need to be hidden. Less ant tzaddich le is galya kolkach. You shouldn't be so exposed. If I'm going to create the world with you, I'm going to take away your privacy. I'm going to put you out there. You do better behind the curtain. So God did not create the world with the tzaddik. Tzaddik love, we need to understand, what is this? Why does the tzaddik have to be hidden? My atshuva an tzaddik lameva tamira, you need to be hidden. Halayosetayv, wouldn't it be better? If the world would have been created through the letter tzaddik, everybody would be tzaddikim. Why does Hashem want to keep only a few hidden tzaddikim and the rest of the world is struggling with all kinds of stuff that sometimes makes us less than tzaddik? Ulahavin zet, to understand this, tzaddik lahavin, we need to understand something else. Maimer is albik subis. What the sage is saying, Subas, that the actions of tzaddikim are greater than the actions of heaven and earth. God says that what tzaddikim do are greater than what God accomplished when he created heaven and earth. Why? Because when God created heaven and earth, it says, af yasti, af yadi yasta aretz, also my hand founded the earth. It says one hand. The yamini and my right hand, tipcha shamayim, stretched the heavens. Or tipcha from the word tefach, measured up the heavens. So one hand, ubamaisa tzaddikim, but when the actions of tzaddikim ksiv, the actions of tzaddikim are all the mitzvahs we do, eventually it leads to the building of the third temple. And by that it says, Migdash Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash of God, Koinenu Yadecha, your hands have established. What do we see from here? That to build the Beis HaMikdash, you need, God uses his two hands. Upirish HaTaisvis, and Taisvis says, the Mamaisa Shemaim Va'aretz, that by the creation of heaven, have a Chad Yad B'Chad Maisa. Even though over there also God used both hands. Because it says, my hand made earth and my right hand made the heaven. Implying that the left hand was the one that made the earth and the right hand that made the heaven. Fine. So why are we saying the Beis HaMikdash is greater? Because God uses both hands. Avol Beis HaMikdash, but by the temple, what does it say? Shumai set tzadikim. Heveshtei yodais b'chad ma'is. It's one action and both hands. Tzarech lahav, we need to understand. Eich ef shalomar. How can we say that? The ma'aseh tzaddikim gedolim ma'aseh shemayim ba'aretz. That the actions of tzaddikim, the deeds of the tzaddikim, are greater than the making of heaven and earth. The loy ma'aseh shemayim ba'aretz u'b'chinas b'riya yesh me'ayin. Creation of heaven and earth, God did the impossible. He creates things out of nothing. The ein ze elo b'chay kaboyre. Only the Creator can do that. The hu levade b'yecholte, the only one who has the capacity to create something from nothing. That's why the sages say, even if the entire world would get together to create, to pool together all the resources in the world, for what purpose? To be able to create a wing of a mosquito from absolute nothing. It's one thing to be able to regenerate and to this, but you have to always have something. But to create from nothing, even the tiniest, most insignificant thing, like the little fly, a fly wing. Kill them is contrary for the knaf yitush echad, they can't. Enim yachodim lahatal by neshama, they can't bring it to life. The eich amru, and how do we say? No, but the work of the tzaddikim is greater even than God's work. The gedoy lemaise tzaddikim, yeah. So let's do just a tiny bit further. My eyes are gluing together. Ach, in you knew the idea is the hine you do it is known. This is literally what we were learning in the Alakus, and this is why for this line, so right over here, is why I'm teaching this whole discourse right now. It says that in the drawing of godliness down to this world, there's two levels of how to pump God's energy into creation. There is a level which is a root type of deposit. In other words, it's a deposit that God deposits into the world, energy infuses it, but that's a set and fixed allocation. He allocates, in order to project that's going to cost him $3 billion, he sets aside $3 billion for creation. But then there is bonus season. There's a different level in which it's called Tosefes. Tosefes means he's adding on, he's giving above what that the worlds usually receive. But when we say above, we don't mean a little above, we mean exponentially greater. The Hefresh Beinehem, and the difference between them is as follows. We find it in an analogy of down here. There are certain things that a human being needs and they must need to sustain themselves. Without this, they wouldn't have any ability to stand. Bread, which a person lives upon. He needs basic bread. Through the bread that contains within it sparks of holiness, whatever, that's what keeps the soul and the body together. Then there are certain things that are not your basic keeping you alive, but they enrich a person's life. Like what? Like various different fruits, right? Fruits, peaches, and whatever fruit you like, grapes and berries and whatever they are. These things, you can be without them. A person can live without it. Like we say in the blessing, you create many creations. On everything they're lacking. It means what is what a person needs. In addition to what you created, means to give us a kick. To give us an extra enjoyment. That's called lahachias. So, humasha efshaloi beloi zeh, something that you don't need, actually, taisefes tainer. And we thank God that God gives us even extra perks that we don't need. Ubederach klal, in our general life, is the difference between weekday and Shabbos. Weekday, we're supposed to eat just what we need to survive. Shabbos, we're supposed to have all kinds of pleasure over foods. This is between Chol and Shabbos. Shabbos in the weekday. In the weekdays, the sages say, eat bread with salt. Drink water in an earthen clay vessel. Because that's what you need for basic survival. That's a must. But on Shabbos, it says, the karas le Shabbos oineg, you will call to Shabbos oineg, a pleasure. V'amid as all the sages say, mitzvah la'angoy. It's a mitzvah to have pleasure on Shabbos. So just like we find such an idea, there is basic and then there is extra pleasurable things in life. Same is also when we draw God's energy in the world, there is a basic flow and then there is a pleasurable flow when there is add-ons. And then that adds on is all coming from Yesod, from Yosef. Hoysafa, addition. And that's going to explain is the mila of guarding the bris. It's not, if you don't guard the bris, the world is destroyed. No, the world then acts on bare minimum. If you want affluence and you want a bracha that goes over the top, that is what is needed. In drawing the life force into the worlds, It's what is a must, what God gives and allocates to the world, and it's a must. That's the idea that it says, God, you enliven everything. You enliven all the worlds. And if the energy would have departed, would depart from the world even for a split second, if God would pull out his investment, everything would revert to nothing and to super nothing. Those of you who listen to the daily Mashiach, you'll know the difference between nothing and absolute, absolute nothing. And what does the life do? The life gives life to the world to create the world as a world. And what does a world mean as a world? Something that feels itself separated and independent from God. And that's the energy the angels get. Because even though angels are very, very tuned into God, but they still feel themselves separated because they also have bodies. They have very refined bodies because their bodies are only made up of fire and wind. That Hashem makes his angels spirits. And these angels get their sustenance. What's their sustenance? The radiance of the Shechina shines to them. And this is what the initial energy gives. Again, we're trying to figure out what the principle gives. The principal energy, the principal salary that God gives to the world is to create it something from nothing. That the world should appear to be something. The gam amalochim, and even though you say, well, the angels, they're not a yesh, they are a yesh, he says. Afsha imrim kadosh baruch, even though they're singing to God and they're saying holy, holy and blessed, ena masigim rak shem chinas yesh. They don't really comprehend the true nothingness that precedes existence. They only realize that they are something, and they're frustrated in their illusionary existence, and they're like trying to get excited about what's beyond them. That's what he's saying. Their yesh, their something, is nullified to God. This is just like God creates. He creates from nothing to something. This bittul is to take the something and surrender and bend to it, bend to the nothingness. Avo be'emes, but all of this doesn't tap the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is a much deeper truth. What's the much deeper truth? The deeper truth is the consciousness that's above malchut and above creation. And that is, there cannot be anything other than him. He is and there's none but him. That level of clarity, if that is imbued in the world, if that is downloaded in the world, to have, let's say, a tzaddik who lives in that consciousness, that one tzaddik has more energy in his soul than all of the cosmos wrapped up, all of the creation. Because the creation is given a finite existence. This energy is coming from the bonus level. In other words, from a level that's above yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. The moment when you realize, from a level where you realize there's only one true yesh, and that's God. Avo be'emes einu ken, ki hu yizbaruch ha'yesh amiti, Hashem is the true, true being. V'chol ha'olam is kulam in all the worlds, kulam kalek kamei in front of him, k'loch ha'shev are not. V'hu b'chin is de'a yoyin, and that's the higher de'a, it's the higher knowledge, which usually is not felt in this creation. Achat tzaddikim, that's the work of the tzaddikim. Hainu b'chinas nishmas Yisrael, the souls of Israel. They come to bring to the world something bigger than the world, something deeper than the world. Hamamshichim sheyem yashli ayin. They draw down that the worlds should be able to experience from true meyesh la'ayin. Not just like the angels that are bitl hayesh, but to come to a true sense of ayin. How God is the true yesh. And everything that's more down is more nothing. But it's concealed. But this concealment itself is divine. And when that is revealed, that higher consciousness, to be gifted with the clarity, to be gifted with a understanding, to be able to live a moment of truth, that's a moment of Yosef. That's when the curtains of creation of Malchus part and Yosef comes down. Yosef means lohosef, to add from above the screen, from above the filter, from a consciousness that's the ultimate true consciousness, to download that into the consciousness of creation. That's not here. That's not what supports the existence. Quite on the contrary, that contradicts the existence. What supports the existence is a far more filtered type of godliness. A godliness that's part of olam, part of the concealment. But here we're talking about, at times there is a giloy, a higher revelation. So when people say, oh, give me a Yosef, doesn't always mean give me a lot of money. It means give me a lot of insight. Give me a clarity there's none but God. That's the Yosef element. Ubezeh Yuvan, with this we'll understand the Inyan Ois Tzadik. Now we'll understand how all of this is. Tzadik is Yesod. So Tzadik is this bonus. And that's why God couldn't create the world with Tzadik. Because he says, no, this, what you represent, I have to hide. Because or else there won't be a world. If immediately God would drop the bomb that there's nothing but him, then there wouldn't be a world. This is two of a high, in other words, so Hashem says, no, you're better hidden. And in certain moments, I'll part the curtain and allow the tzaddik light to shine down. But the world I can't create is going to show you how this is in a tzaddik. This is the secret of the letter tzaddik, Shubitzir Yud. A tzaddik is a Yud. V'nun kfufa. A tzaddik is a Yud riding on a hunchback nun. Because what's a tzaddik goes like this. That's like a bent over, someone who's been bending over, and on top, on his back, is riding another yud. That's a tzaddik. So what does that mean? Nun upchinas malchus. Malchus is a lot of times called nun. You know why? The word nun means a king. Means a king. Nun v'neched. Shu b'chenes makar l'savas ha'olam. And for other reasons, Malchus is called nun. Shu makar l'savas ha'olam. It's the source to the creation of the world. She enedim l'yesh v'dav nifrad, where the worlds should appear as something other. U'lechei nikre nun. Ah, that's why it's called nun. Nun comes from the word ona'ah, and ona'ah means deception. For the worlds to come into existence, God has to deceive us. He has to play a camouflage. He has to create a smokescreen covering him. And that's what nun means, from the word ona'ah, a deception. This that the world appears to be a yesh, who I not. It's God is playing with our brains. He's messing with us. Shekameh, because the way he sees it, he sees there's nothing but him. Shekameh kula kalachashiv. In front of him, everything is not. The imkein zeh comes out, this is a total cheat. Hashem is deceiving us in this whole project of called creation. That's the nun. What's viyud? Yud u'pchenas chachma. Yud is chachma. Ki gam es avas ha-chachma ma'orin soif baruch hu adei tzimtzum. Why is a yud chachma? Because yud is a point. And in order to have chachma, God has to bring his infinite energy down to a point. L'chein u'pchenas yud nekuda, only in a kuda. V'afal p'kein u'pchenas chachma shu'pchenas bittel. It's still chachma, which chachma is total bittel. V'os tzadik hu hamshachas ha-yud b'nun. What does tzadik then mean? To drill into the back of the nun, the yud, which is bittel, which is chacham. So it's basically where godliness attacked the creation, and through its back is drilling into it the ultimate truth. That's what the tzaddik is. It's a higher reality now being, you know, it's going right into the spine of the creation. It's giving a spiritual epidural. It's hitting the in the back of the nun, which nun is malchus, which is the creation. It's infusing chachma, which is bittul, which is the yod. That even below there should be this revelation of the higher chachma. How God is the only being, and all before Him is not. And now we'll understand also the meaning of. So, and that's why God says, "I can't create the world with you." Because if I would create the world with you, means I wouldn't have any pleasure in the world. I would give away the secret at the first second. I would create a world that even though it's a nun, it's right away felt the yud in the nun. So the worlds never feel itself as something. And what's the whole point? God has to create the world without the tzaddik. He has to create the world in a way when the world can go into a state of self-illusion and think that it exists without him and make poor choices and go through all of its. And eventually God drops the tzaddikim into the world. Those are the neshamas, the souls, and they are the ones who bring higher consciousness into the world until they lead the world to the ultimate state of Mashiach. In other words, the whole inyan of tzaddik, the whole inyan of yesod, is to live beyond the partitions that obscure this, the beyond nature, beyond the partitions that obscure. That's why the Tzemach Tzedek writes that it's no chiddush that Reb Shlomo Karliner, the Rebbe of Karliner, Reb Shlomo Karliner, the Alter Rebbe once said, it's no chiddush that Reb Shlomo of Karliner was a colleague of the Alter Rebbe, but he had his own style, different than the Alter. It's no chiddush that Reb Shlomo Karliner is making such miracles. Because in those days in Russia, then every day there were miraculous stories coming for Reb Shlomo of Karliner. And he was creating a serious competition to the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was not running a miracle factory, although he did enough miracles, but that was not his. He wasn't open for business to give people miracles. The Alter Rebbe was open for business to teach Yidden how to be Yidden, how to serve Hashem in the deepest levels of Chassidus. Reb Shlomo Karliner, he was also teaching Yidden how to serve God, but he had a much bigger operation with miracles. So the Alter Rebbe said, when the world was, when it was rushing, when there was a tumult happening, whoa! The Alter Rebbe said, no. He's just one tefach above the ground. The ground is Malchus. He's a tefach above the ground. He's Yesod. Shlomo Karliner is plugged into Yesod. Yesod, that's the level of Tzaddik. The level of Tzaddik is a consciousness that's above time and space. It's above nature. Because time and space can only exist through the after the filtering of Malchut. But when Yesod infuses a higher energy, then we all can see that nature is nothing. So God couldn't create the world with this. From time to time, He sends a tzaddik into the world, and that tzaddik does miracles and gives us all a sense that there is something beyond time and space. There's something beyond nature. So we do need tzaddikim. God doesn't tell that. Somebody says, we're going to keep you hidden a little bit. And with this, we'll also understand what we said earlier. G'day l'may, said tzaddikim. It is greater the actions of the tzaddikim. It's true. Even if the whole world gathers and tries to make a mosquito wing, like we said earlier, they couldn't do it. Creation is creating ex nihilo. That's great. The afa pikein, nevertheless, gedoy lemaisa tzadikim, the actions of tzadikim, which means the actions of the Jewish people to infuse godliness in this world, is more than the act of creation. Kibriyasa oylamu ma'ayin liyash, because the creation of the world is from non-existence to something. Why they pchen Hashem Elokim, and that doesn't happen through the higher name of God, it happens through the lower name of God, the name of Elokim. K'nechsev b'reishis bara Elokim, in the beginning when God created, v'Elokim b'gamatria ateva, And Elokim is gematria like this year, 86. Hu sheyenet ha'olam layash, which makes the world look like a as a separate thing. Aval tzadikim mamshichim gilui day al yoyna, but tzadikim draw down something higher. The day al yoyna, what's the higher das? Ain't old Movado, there's none but him. That's the shema vaya. Tzadik yisoid olam. Tzadik, the foundation of the world. Yisoid upchenas. The word yisod also has the word sod, because yisod is all about revealing the secret. Which the secret? What's the secret? Secret is, it always was him. It always will be him. There was nothing other than him. We wake up the first morning after Mashiach arrives and we'll notice that it was not, it always was him. It always will be him. The whole time we thought it was something other than him. All it is, it's only him. That's the secret. Secret has been revealed. Yesod has the word sod inside of it. And that's why you see that even in Yesod, you see the secret in it, because there's a bris, there's an arla, a foreskin, and that has to be removed to reveal the bris itself. Also, concept of secret. And the Chadushi Arim says in this week's parasha that after Avram Avinu had his bris milah, that's when the secret of Mashiach was revealed to him. Why? Because the angels came to him right afterwards, and they came to hear from Avram a psak halacha. And that was that when the Torah says that anybody from the descendants of Moab may not marry the Jewish people, it only applies to a man convert, not to a woman convert of Moab. They're not excommunicated. How did we learn that out? And that was a very pivotal piece of information, because that was the justification to save Lot. Because Lot and his daughters are later going to produce Ammon and Moab, and Mashiach can come from Ammon and Moab because Ruth can convert. If Ruth is not going to be able to convert according to Torah, then and what's going to happen? Then there's no Mashiach. The world came so close to that. Who saved it? Because Lot didn't have any deservance to stay alive. He stayed alive only in the merit of his descendants, of King David and Mashiach coming from him. Had Mashiach's soul not been able, or King David's neshama not been able to retrieve. Why? Because we would not have known this halacha. That a girl, right? Then the angels would have had to wipe out all of Sodom, and they would have killed everybody, including Lot and his daughters. They were not tzaddikim. So who came to the rescue? Abraham came to the rescue. Because when Avram had his bris milah, which is the whole idea of sod Hashem liyareyav, ubrisay lahidiyam. The secret of God is to those who fear him. And his bris, his covenant, loidiyam, to notify them. When Avram did the bris milah, a secret of Torah was revealed to him. It's this secret. And how did Avram share it with the angels? When Sarah did not come out, she stayed in the tent. That was the secret. Because the reason why a Moabite convert, a girl, is allowed to marry a Jew, because the only reason God says, I don't want you to do any marriages with Moab anymore, even if they convert. Why? Because they did not come greet you with bread and water when you were passing their land. Instead, they came out to war. But the main emphasis, they your cousins, they should have come and offered you loaves of bread and water. They didn't. But that can only be held against the men, not against the women. Because the women, it's not their style to go out and offer up. How do we know that's from the angel said, where is Sarah? And she said, she's in the tent. So that was a pivotal lesson. That's what saved Lot and his two daughters. And that ultimately is what brought us the Davidic kingdom, empire. But Al Kapanim, what do you see from here? That Yesod is connected to Soid. Which secret? The secret is the secret of Havaya. What is revealed and tangible to us is nature. What we all kind of like can see all the time, that's nature. People will come to you and say, why are you doing so and so? Or why are you doing it? Or how are you going to do it? And they give you the math. And they give you the Hakyu Chinik with this and with that. You're right. That's from the name of Elohim. That's all right. But you do a bris milah and you uncover Havaya, who is above time and space, and there's no other reality other than him. So you can live with miracles. You can rely on miracles. You can trust in miracles. You can lean on miracles. You just have to go into a different zone. You have to have your bris milah. You have to live in Yosef's world. Only when Yosef takes you into his wagon, only when Yosef pulls you into his wagon, can you attain that level. Yosef b'chinas soid havaya l'yireyov. The imkain, and if that's the case, hamamshichim begilui lamata echshu yizbarach hayesh amiti. How the Eibishter is the real yesh. Thank you. You're benched. Hapach b'riyasa oylam shum ayin l'yesh. The opposite of the creation of the world. Think about it. When Hashem creates the world, he creates me'ayin to yesh, from nothing to something. What do the tzaddikim do? They reveal there's none but him. They reveal how the world that appears to be something is really not something. The alkein, and therefore, gidoylim, the work of the tzaddik is greater. Shemaisa tzaddikim hu b'chenas migdash. They create the base hamigdash. Why do you think Tucker Carlson is terrified that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built? He just interviewed two people, and they're terrified. Tucker Carlson. If you don't know who he is, it's better you don't know. Yeah. And so are others. They're scared the temple is going to be built, because the temple is the place where something is nullified to nothing, where existence turns back into nothing. It doesn't turn into nothingness, but it delivers the consciousness that God is and there's none but him. And it completely eliminates your ego. And whoever doesn't want to surrender their ego is terrified. Shemaisa tzadikim abchenas migdash. That's the Beis HaMikdash. The kamoisha b'migdash. What was in the Beis HaMikdash? You saw that time and space is irrelevant. Three times a year you should be seen. For Amar Hazal and the sages say, Kederech Shabbo Lirois, just like you came to see, Kach Bo Lirois, it came to be seen. The Gamu Pchinis Aryeh the Achel Korban, and there was a lion that eat the Korbanos. Kach Tzadikim, Amshichim Gamken Gili Alakus. So Tzadikim, in other words, when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, who do you have? You have Tzadikim. But who builds the Beis HaMikdash? Really, the work of the Tzadikim. V'zehu ben Poyras Yosef, and this is the meaning. The son that increase, Ben means a son, who increases is Joseph. He increases divine revelation in this dark world. Yosef was much higher than the 12 brothers. The 12 brothers were, their neshamas explained in other places in Hasidus, maybe he's going to say it over here too. Their neshama consciousness was a created consciousness. They were rooted in Malchus, but Malchus is already part of the smokescreen. And their consciousness is therefore a convoluted consciousness. Only Yosef is the one who can channel from Ben Poras. He brings from above the Tzimtzum. He brings from Yesod. Yosef is the Tzaddik. And people don't even realize that these goofa, what we're saying right now, this was the entire movement of the... This was the entire infusion of the Baal Shem Tov and all those great neshamas. The Baal Shem Tov downloaded the tzaddikim into the world. It started with him and all of his disciples. What did you see in them? When you walked into their presence, you felt God. You felt Ein Od Movado, there's nothing but Hashem. That's why you came. through the Alter Rebbe, he taught it to you, and other people, you saw a miracle. But it was that idea that you experienced Havaya, and that the worlds are canceled in the Ein Sof. That's Tosefes. That's to bring a Hisafa, to bring more than what is from creation itself. V'zeo ben Paidus Yosef. Paidus Olashin Tosefes V'ribuy, increasing. V'ayinu Hamshacha Shu Baiset Tosefes, is to bring into the world something that's above the world. Well, this will also understand. This is the offspring of Yaakov Yosef. Yaakov is the center, because Avram is the right side, Yitzchak is the left side, Avram is the center. What he's saying is like this. Yaakov already on his own has a very, very, very high flow. Because the uniqueness of Teferes, which is the middle bar, which is Yaakov, is that it goes from the very, very heights of heights all the way, it crosses through all the levels. As opposed to Chesed and Gevurah that don't go through all the levels. Teferes cuts through everything. However, it's still limited. It remains in Atzilus. Meaning, it goes from the very beginning until the end of Atzilus, but it stops there. To bring further down, to extend it down into creation, literally, that Yaakov needs Yosef. Yosef translates Yaakov into creation. That even in, and that's what you see, Yosef, in the literal life, you see that. Yosef brought Yaakov down to Egypt. And Yaakov can be the Yaakov he was in the land of Israel in Egypt, which Egypt represents constrictions of Teva, of nature, and so on. Egypt was a country that worshipped nature. They were the scientists. They were the, in their world, it was like, they were the, like, I believe in science. That was them. The first, I believe in science. The question is, can someone go down there into that world and introduce God into that place? That's Yosef's avoda. That the offspring of Yaakov is Dafke Yosef. With this, we'll understand what we said earlier. Shayadei Natira Sabris, through the guarding of the covenant. Islan Chulkala Alma Daasi, one has a chelik in the future world. Kiman denote bris ikret tzaddik, because someone who keeps the bris is called a tzaddik. The tzaddik kvar mavua le'el, we explained already earlier, shu b'chinas hamshachas hachachma ba'olamos. It's to drill into the spine of the world. It's to drill into the nun, the yud, from the back. Ki tzaddik hu b'chinas yesod. Tzaddik is yesod. Shu b'chinas Yosef, which is Yosef. So what basically it means is like this. When God gave us a bris milah, God is infusing into the Jewish people something that's above and beyond nature. When you guard it, which means keep it in holiness, then what happens, that higher energy is, that consciousness flows to that individual. That higher consciousness, that hu levade hu v'ein zolosai, that only God is and there's none but him, is sensed in a person's life. When there is a lack of Shmira Sabris, what happens is it creates a jamming of that higher consciousness, and one falls into the deception of nature. Nature gets a very strong grip on the person, and the person loses touch with the miraculous, with the beyond. And it's, so the Art Tzaddikim, but every single Jew really has that tzaddik energy if he allows it to remain pure. If he ruins it, then he kind of like disconnects that Wi-Fi. And then he lives very much like the rest of the world. So, ki tzaddik ubchenes yisoy tshchmenes Yosef, v'yosef v'yosem me'imoy. Okay. Let's finish this next week because my brain is literally shutting down. Like a computer, like, you know, you see your phone that gets to zero battery. That's what's happening right now. My eyes are shutting on me. My eyes are shutting on me. I don't know what it is. I'm telling you, I don't see the last few words. It already faded. It already faded. Okay. I just wanted to learn about the greater flow of Yosef into the world.